This episode of The Edge is brought to you by Audible.com, offering more than 180,000 titles for smartphone, tablet, and desktop. To get a free audiobook of your choice and help Trek.fm at the same time, visit audibletrial.com/trekfm. And also by Enterprise in Space, an international program of the nonprofit National Space Society. Find out how you can help science and education and become a virtual crew member aboard the NSS Enterprise Orbiter by visiting enterpriseinspace.org. And if you want to join the conversation and share your thoughts on this episode, join the Babel Conference, our listeners group on Facebook. Just type B-A-B-E-L into the Facebook search field. We look forward to seeing you there.
You're listening to Trek FM.
What have you done out there on the edge of Federation space?
Welcome, listeners, to Postcards from the Edge. I'm your host, Christopher D. Littlefield. With me this week is Brandi Jacola. Brandi, thank you for coming on Postcards this week.
I am so happy to be here.
I'm so happy you're here.
I'm thrilled. I'm looking forward to this so much because I just love podcasting with you.
I'm a little nervous.
Why?
Because it's been a while since we've podcasted and we just don't know each other very well, so I'm just like, is the chemistry gonna be there? Are we gonna get along?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess we'll just have to wait and see, because I am a handful.
Well, I already knew that.
Yeah, well, yeah, then you know enough.
I can be too.
Yeah, it's more fun that way.
Yes, I
agree. Why be boring?
No, heck no. Well, today we're discussing the fan response to the Discovery Season 3 trailer. If you would like to participate and share your response, please post your comments on the Babel Conference, our listeners group on Facebook. Type B-A-B-E-L into the search field and it will come right up. We'll create a special postcards discussion thread right before each new Star Trek episode. Leave your comments and they just might get read on the air. As of this recording, we have 36 comments on the postcards thread, which is a 74% decrease from our last episode. Oh. So, wah, wah, wah.
No.
Although it's just a trailer, so. It's been out for a little while.
Yeah.
It's not exactly the most timely thing.
Yeah, it's fine. Honestly, how much can you say about a one minute and 10 second trailer?
Yeah.
So. I think that's pretty, for the amount of time that trailer was, I think 36 comments is pretty dang good.
I think it's great. I'm happy about it. I'm happy that there's one comment.
Yes, excellent.
But, you know, fewer comments, then you and I get to talk more.
Score.
Well, listeners, please keep those comments coming because we love your feedback. And please be sure to listen past the closing music for a very special message. So, Brandi, before we get started, I just want to get your quick reaction to the trailer. What did you think? Oh, do you remember, first of all, the day that it came out, where you were?
Yes.
And what was going on?
I was at home. It was New York Comic Con weekend.
It was the big drop of all the stuff.
Yep, it was Saturday. And my phone was constantly buzzing with Twitter notifications.
And messages from me.
Yeah, well, yeah, that too. But it was just because there are certain accounts that I have set to notify me of all of their posts. Oh. And they were all going off because a lot of these people were at New York Comic Con. So I was just like, shut up. Oh, wait, what is this? What? So that was basically my reaction. I was actually very comfy.
You were freaking out.
At the time. I was just like, what? I gotta watch it right now. So, and then.
Because then the new Short Treks too, yeah. The Picard trailer, and you're freaking out because you had to get ready to do the live show and you didn't have any preparation. Like, you didn't have any time.
No, it wasn't about that. It was about the fact that we still didn't know how we were going to stream live on YouTube.
Oh, right.
They took away Google Hangouts on air. And the new situation was that they would not provide you with an encoder. You had to do that your own self. And so, oh, pardon my French. I am so sorry. But
I can bleep it out.
Excellent. Please do that. And so basically, and it was Bruce's birthday. So
oh, that's right.
It was Bruce's birthday. And so I was messaging him. And he's messaging me back. He's going, wait, what? What are you? What? Like, dude, this is going down and people are going to expect it live. And we don't have a way to do this. And it, we actually got on online and talked to each other over the internet face to face and figured it out. Actually,
but Bruce that's when we, out. But is that the one when we, like, because I joined that night for the live. Was that the one where we were all on video? No.
That was a different one. That was a few weeks before.
Okay,
yeah.
That's right.
Because that actually wasn't, that was basically a Zoom meeting. It was not being broadcast in any way because we hadn't figured that out yet. And so we figured it out that day and I was supposed to have lunch and lunch was 2 hours late for me. So I was really tired and really hungry. I wasn't hangry.
No,
I was not hangry because Bruce figured it out and saved the day because Bruce is awesome. And we all know that.
Yes.
And so, yeah. So, he went on his merry way and I went and had lunch and there we go. So, yeah. But I remember exactly where I was because I was comfy and watching TV and my phone was just really starting to get annoying. And then I started looking at all of it and I, stuff and things. Okay.
Yeah. Well, I love the live episodes. They're so much fun.
Oh, thanks. We love doing them.
Yeah. I was on a couple in season two for... Yes. Project Daedalus and Such Sweet Sorrow Part 2.
Yes, where you made me cry really hard.
I made you cry. Yes, I did. And I wear that as a badge of honor.
Yes, you made me cry in the best way.
Right.
The
That's
best
why.
Way.
That's why. Yeah. That's why it's a badge of honor.
Absolutely.
And it was a lot of fun. I remember the first time I was so nervous to go live with you guys because there's no editing. It's just go and go and go. And then we went live for the first time and Bruce started singing and then I started singing. And then you and I were singing for the second episode I was on.
Yes.
So that made me feel a lot more comfortable and at ease since it was all started with music, which is, you know, what I do.
Yeah. I'm glad that you felt comfortable. You were just a natural from the beginning. So I was, you know, I had complete faith in you. I knew that you would be great regardless. So, and you proved me right.
Oh, well, thank you.
You are welcome.
Well, let's get into the listener feedback. And Brandy, take it away.
Thank you. Our first comment is from Christian Alonso, who says, I'm excited to see what effect the Discovery crew has on the future. We see that the Federation isn't how we left it. Will they be able to bring it back? I'm excited to find out. Same.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that it's unexpected, you know?
It's everything's up in the air.
And that's a great thing. There's so many ways you can play this.
It's kind of scary a little bit, right? Because because the security of the Federation that we know is kind of pulled out from underneath us right now.
Mm-hmm.
So but we'll see.
You know what? You know, sometimes you need to kill your darlings a little bit. And so, but, you know, that I'm looking forward to seeing where this goes and how it goes, but this is not about me.
Well, it's a little bit about you.
Well, a little bit, but mostly not. It's about the listeners.
It's also about Karen Hasha, and I don't know if I'm saying your name correctly, so if I'm not, please correct me. Karen says, I can't wait to see season 3, especially since I don't have short treks to tide me over. It looks like Burnham isn't on the Discovery at first. I want to know what's up with that, and how does Calypso tie in? So Karen must be an international viewer somewhere else, not in Canada and the United States, and that totally stinks that you don't have the short treks, and I'm so sorry.
That's just so lame, because...
Yeah.
And that's due to the distributors abroad, you know?
Right.
CBS wants everyone to have those, but, you know, they have to have a distributor to do that.
Yeah.
And people aren't playing ball, I guess, is how you would say that. What do you think Calypso will tie in, Chris?
I do think it will. I'm so back and forth about Calypso with how I think about it. The musician in me loves all of the music and the theater and the whimsy and everything.
Yes.
And then there's another part of me that's like, just like Karen said, what's up with that?
Yeah. It's kind of disconnected from the, well, I wouldn't say it's completely disconnected from the other short treks, because the Harry Mudd one also is very disconnected. It doesn't really mm-hmm. connect to anything else. It's just like a side story about, you know, him making a bunch of androids, which I will say they did tie into the Star Trek Timelines game, which
oh, they did?
Cracked me up. Yes. 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 They are very good about that, because basically that game is all timelines have converged. All oh. universes have converged. And so you have different Worfs and different Michaels and, you know, all these from all these versions of people from different times are all existing in the same space.
Is it like the TNG episode when we see all of the different
yeah.
enterprises, all the that all come together?
It is very much like that.
The name of the episode.
Yeah, it is very much like that, but on a much larger scale.
Yeah.
Because there's just like everybody, just everybody from TOS through Discovery. Everybody's in that game.
It's and the, once the entire multiverse is just
yeah,
yeah. all there.
And the Kelvin stuff, that's in there.
Oh, wow.
It's in there. And yeah, it's it's pretty impressive and a bit mind-boggling. And I'm sure that they'll get the Picard stuff in there when the series starts.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. But yeah, Burnham's, they're not all together after they jump. And they said that, right?
Yeah.
In an article or something.
Well, yeah, I mean, you kind of can tell, because she wakes yeah. up in Iceland. I mean, she wakes up in this on this planet covered right. like in soot and ash.
Uh-huh.
And you know, she meets David Ajala, and I'm super excited to see him in this season.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's telling her that she's fond of relics, and she's like, what? And like, that badge on your shirt.
Right. Do so, you believe in ghosts?
Yeah. It's just like... What happened? And why is she gone? Because you have that sort of time lapse thing of her over, what, the course of a year or more?
I guess so. I mean...
And she looks like she's in some kind of shuttlecraft.
Shuttlecraft. And then her bedding changes with each scene, and she accumulates more stuff in mm-hmm. there. And it looks like different seasons. And her hair, which we'll get to in another comment later.
Right. Hair. So, yeah, I guess I don't know that Calypso's ever going to tie in, but that's the thing. I don't know.
I don't know.
Anyway, let's go on to Tim Hands. He says, going to be interesting how or when they incorporate the short trek story from last year, Calypso, into season 3. I'm sure they didn't just film that little short as a standalone, and it's more all part of a bigger plan for Discovery.
I do think it's part of the plan, in a way.
Yeah, I get that.
I mean, remember that they called the Vidraish, they mentioned the Vidraish, mm-hmm. and someone had kind of teased that could possibly be a misnomer for the Federation. Ooh. Vidraish, Federation. Mm. I think I read that somewhere.
Interesting.
But then that would bring me more toward Picard. No. No, no, no. What am I thinking? No, Discovery. You know, both of the trailers dropped at the same time. So
yes,
for a little
did.
While, I was confused. I was like, okay, wait, which one? Where are we? Who is it? What's going on?
The Picard one has the Romulan samurai in Seven of Nine. Okay.
And the Borg. Right.
And the Borg and the Will and Deanna. And then Discovery has not a whole lot.
I just lost major fan points.
Oh, no, you didn't. Come on.
I just got confused.
You know what? We all do. We all do that. Okay. You can't tell me there isn't anyone in the Babel Conference that hasn't done that one time or another. It's okay.
Well, Rachel Gautreau says, this trailer really got me excited about season 3 of Discovery. I can't wait to find out what's going on with the Federation. There are hardly any stars left on the flag. Why, how did Michael get separated from the rest of the crew? Who are these new characters that she encounters? And Saru certainly seems to be giving a captain-like speech. Is he the new captain? I can't wait for all the wonderful new Trek on the horizon.
Yay!
Yeah. Thanks, Rachel, for your comment.
Absolutely. I personally think that Saru is the captain.
Do you?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
But we'll see. Because, you know, what I think and what actually is, we won't know till season 3 of Discovery starts. So
maybe he'll be like acting captain again because Michael's not there. And then Michael comes back. So then it's awkward. And then they're not sure again. And Discovery never gets a captain.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe that's just gonna be the thing.
Yeah, maybe. I want to know who they were originally going to pick up before...
Right?
Before they encountered the Enterprise at the end of season 1. Who was it supposed to be?
Is that guy still just hanging out on Vulcan or
was
gal?
Was it T'Pol?
Ooh, I don't...
I don't know.
I don't know. Vulcans do have long lives, but I'm not sure that... Because it's about... 90 years, and she was already in her 60s.
She was?
At the time of Enterprise, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because I know Enterprise fairly well. And
you
I
do,
know,
yes.
I know she was in her 60s. So, she was slightly sensitive about it due to some people's reaction. So, she didn't talk about it much, but anyway.
Right. I love T'Pol.
Yeah. So, Captain Pikachu... Also known as Beta Artemis, also known as Belinda. Hi.
Hi.
She says, Michael's hair is glorious and will save the universe. And I'm pretty sure the guy showing her the Federation flag is some descendant of Ash Tyler. And I love Andorians making a comeback. Again, same.
Yeah.
Love me some Andorians.
I love me some Andorians. And I love Michael's hair.
Yes. The many phases of Michael's hair.
Yes. So she's been there a while.
Well, there's not a style that doesn't look good on her.
Yeah.
She just has the perfect face shape and the perfect features to just do anything. She could probably be bald and it would be fine.
Oh, yeah.
She could be a Delton.
I'd love it.
Excellent.
Karen Chu, also known as Karen Chupless, says... I literally got goosebumps. I'm ready and excited for Picard, but the Disco trailer really gave me goosebumps. Even from just the trailer, I got a sense of on your own now. I want to know who Book is. What's is his story? Where is everyone? Cannot wait.
And I have to admit at this point that when somebody called him Book, I'm like, what? Oh, wait. Wait, no, now the streams are crossing because Firefly. If anyone knows Firefly, you know what I'm talking about. Shepherd Book.
It's been a while since I've seen it, but I love the series, and I, you know, I've watched it a few times.
Yeah.
Love me some Joss Whedon, for sure.
Mm-hmm. So that was the first thing I thought, and I'm like, no, they're not connecting Star Trek and Firefly. That's not some future descendant, or maybe past ancestor, because... Firefly's way in the future, too, so.
They could do it in a comic, though.
They absolutely could.
Like with the Green Lantern and Star Trek ones.
You know, there have been some interesting crossovers over the years, most of which I would just, why are you doing this?
Mm-hmm.
Just why? Like when they start to get the silly cartoon characters in there, you know, it's just like, I don't want to see... A crossover between this person and, you know, Alley Cat or whatever. I don't need that.
Like Felix the Cat.
Yeah, something.
Felix the Cat. Archie on the Enterprise.
Yeah, I don't want to see a crossover between Batman and Scooby-Doo. I just really don't need that. No, I'm not saying that's happened, but maybe it has. They have done some weird stuff. So I'm sure the fans will tell me.
Yeah.
All right.
This is a good one.
Sorry. So, our good friend Liam Smart says, Trill! It was all
Trill.
In caps. It was all in caps, so I had to say it that way. Trill!
Trill.
Trill. Trill.
Yeah. I was thrilled to see them. And the pools. I love the Trills.
Well, it's nice to know that they're still around, right?
Mm-hmm.
But considering their longevity, I guess it's not really a surprise.
Okay, they can have, what's the maximum amount of hosts or ish?
I'm not
Six, seven?
Oh, it's got to be more than seven, because I swear Dax has had more than that.
Yeah.
I mean, Dax has had a lot.
Do you think, do you think we'll see a Dax?
I don't know, but I would love that.
Would you?
I actually
would. You don't think we should leave Dax alone?
Why?
I don't know. You know people will get upset about it.
You know what? People are going to get upset about everything. There yeah. isn't a single thing that they can do in Discovery that somebody's not going to be upset by. So if you try to live your life by that or try to make a show by that, you're not going to go anywhere. So I would not be objecting to seeing a Dax.
I think that
would actually be pretty dang cool and a nice piece of continuity.
And we also have the Lurians. Morn's species.
Yes, Morn.
Do we think that is Morn? Or is it they live a really long time also, it's established.
Do they
And they
live
have at
like,
least four lungs and two stomachs or something? It's probably not
like
him.
Do they live like 800 years though?
I don't think it's him.
Okay. Well, it's difficult to say because we don't get a very good look at them.
Right. It's so fast.
It's very, very fast. It's basically one of those things where you have to just pause it really at the right time to get a good look.
And the
look
little
at
screenshot
it.
That they put out is, it's still hard to kind of make out detail, right?
Yeah, it is. It is. So I don't really see how it could be Morn, but yeah.
Yeah, I don't either.
It's the future.
I was just making conversation.
Yeah, well, if you consider, Discovery was 10 years before TOS, and Next Gen was 85 years after that, thereabouts, right? And then Deep Space Nine was like 5-6 years after that, so it's about...
You're much better at this part than me.
It would be over 100 years between Discovery and Deep Space Nine. And then that would mean they're another 850 years into the future.
Oh, yeah.
So unless Morn can live for like a millennium, I'm pretty sure that's not him.
Yeah.
But I don't know the actual lifespan of a Lurian.
I don't either. We don't know a lot about the Lurians. They're very alluring.
No. I kind of felt like you were going to do that.
You know what? Since this is the first time I've podcasted with you and Bruce is not here, I had to make a Bruce-ish joke, Bruce-esque joke.
And I appreciate it greatly.
So that goes out to you, Bruce.
Excellent. Love it. Love it.
Janessa Quijada says, I second Liam's request for more Trill. As I've gotten more is in all caps. That's why I put the emphasis. Mm-hmm. As I've gotten older, the more I've come to appreciate how groundbreaking the character of Jadzia Dax was for the 1990s. And since building a joint Trill character for the Star Trek Adventures RPG, I'm hungry for more canon info. Like, lots more.
Yep. I can feel that. Because there just isn't very much.
Mm-hmm. I was really excited about... seeing the Trills in Discovery Season 1 at the end.
Yeah. Very interesting. Lots of things. You know what I would like to see? I would really like to see somebody from the Zendi.
Oh, yeah.
Give me somebody from the Zendi.
Right.
Because we know that they joined the Federation.
I want an aquatic.
Yeah. Give me one of those big old whale people. Yeah.
Yeah. I always wanted to see more of the aquatics because I thought they were so cool.
Yes. I enjoyed all of the, you know, not wanting to destroy Earth species. But I would just, you know, because there's a lot to mine there. I mean, yeah, we had a whole season of that with Enterprise. But from that season, we also know that... In the 26th century, Zindi has joined the Federation. And there are members of Starfleet who are Zindi.
Right.
So I would like
That's
to see
That's a great
them
idea.
In.
You know what I would like is more scants, please.
Yes. What's with the no scants? I mean, we saw some in season one, didn't we?
I think so. And they said that there was a little tiny, tiny brief moment where we saw one at the beginning of the Trouble with Edward short treks.
I think you're right. Now I'll have to go back and watch it frame by frame.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very, very slight.
Yeah. Come on with the scants.
Come on.
Don't be biased. The scants are nice. They're comfortable, right?
They're so comfortable.
See? There you go.
Yeah.
All right. Well, our good friend Chris DiBruzio says, I enjoyed the trailer. I'm more excited on how this will put Discovery on its own. And thank you for using the correct form of its. I'm so proud of you, Chris. That makes me so happy. You're awesome.
ITS, no apostrophe.
Yeah. Possessive.
Listeners, Brandy and I are both total grammar queens.
Mm-hmm.
And we basically, when we talk, we're just complaining about people's bad grammar and phonetics.
So much.
But we understand that not everybody's like that, so.
No. It happens in my own family. Like, my mother loves to say, I could care less. And every single time I correct her and say, no, Mom, you couldn't care less.
I couldn't care less.
If you say you could care less, that means you care.
Yes, right.
Because there's an amount that you could care less.
Mm-hmm.
So you care.
Right.
Yeah. And just a quick tip as far as pronouns, it's, his, hers, them, theirs, ours, mine. None of those have apostrophes in them.
Right.
It's all the rest that have apostrophes. Just so you know. Sorry.
The more you know, listeners.
The more you know.
Oh, there's the singing.
Yeah, I had to get it in at some point.
I feel much better now.
Good.
Let's move on to our questions and concerns. And there were a few. Replicant Brandon Shea Matala, also known as Brandon Shea Matala.
Way to advertise it. They're going to send a Blade Runner after you, man. Come on. Don't advertise it.
Right? That's supposed to be a secret.
Right? You know, they don't want to be hunted down. Just want to live their lives. What's so wrong about that?
Well, the replicant says, I predict Michael Burnham will save everything. Everything. And then Liam Smart replies, she'll go back in time and make sure the Big Bang happens, therefore becoming the savior of everything.
Okay.
So I think I'm reading too much into this, but I'm thinking that maybe they think that Michael Burnham saves a lot of things in the series and is responsible for, you know, fixing everything. Maybe that's what they're hinting at a little bit.
She doesn't fix everything. She started a war. She went to prison for treason.
She did start a war.
She was in jail.
She called her adopted brother a half-breed.
Yeah. Weird Not little nice. Half-breed. Yeah, she has made some bad decisions in her life, and were it not for Mirror Lorca wanting to get his girlfriend back, apparently, then she would still be in prison.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, and if I remember correctly, you know, when Discovery was trying to make it through that wormhole, that their shields were down, and it wasn't Michael Burnham that fixed them. It wasn't Michael Burnham that trapped Leland and got all of the nanites out of him. It certainly wasn't Michael Burnham piloting the ship or running the op station or communications or, you know, in fact, she
or
was
injecting alien DNA into her body so that the ship could navigate. Yeah.
She didn't do that. Anyway, you know, I understand the sentiment. I do. But, you know, when you take a closer look, she doesn't do everything.
Right.
In fact, she's done some pretty dumb things.
Yeah.
And Captain Pikachu, hello, Belinda, again. She says, as she should. I mean, she can't let Spock have all the glory. Yeah.
Okay. Spock does a lot of fixing things too.
Yeah, things that we never saw him do before, like fixing the electrical system for Stamets. And even Stamets saying, I didn't know you knew anything about electrical. And he says, I have many talents.
Mm-hmm.
Starfleet likes well-rounded people.
Also, it makes me think of Ethan Peck.
Oh, can we just pause here for a moment?
For a moment, listeners, we're just going to have a moment of silence and think about the gloriousness that is Ethan Peck. And sometimes when I'm having a bad day, Brandy will send me a picture of Ethan. And it'll make me smile and it'll make everything just a little bit better.
Well, I know it works for me. So
it works for me too.
Yep. Well, it helps that he's a really decent human being. I mean,
he's a cool, nice person.
Extremely. Yeah. Not that I've met him, but everyone that I know who has met him has nothing but good things to say. So.
And he's in it for the fans too. He's not in it for the fans, but he loves the fans.
He really, truly does. He really, truly does. And he gives every fan his undivided attention. He's just really cool.
And he has those shirts, the tees that he wears to cons specially made, you told me, right?
Yep, he does. He has a different one for every con.
My favorite one is the one that says Logic Party.
Yes.
I want it.
I still really like the one he wore in Germany, which was the Einteil Logic Einteil Motion.
Oh, yeah.
One part logic, one part emotion. Yeah. I had to double check with my husband to find out if I was translating that correctly, and turns out I was.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you had to check with your husband if it was okay that you talked about how much you like Ethan Peck.
No, he hears that all the time, whether he wants to or not. My husband is very good-natured. I think everybody
is.
He is. That by now.
Yes. Yeah. Well, Paloma Bennett said, I was pumped to see the Andorians because I was hoping to see more Star Trek alien species in Discovery. I am not sure how I feel about Burnham resurrecting all of Starfleet on her own. It seems a little Mary Sue. But if she is just one part of a whole team, then I would be curious how Discovery revives Starfleet. Overall, I enjoyed the trailer. So, do you want to talk? Let's talk about this Mary Sue concept for just a moment.
Okay.
I want to know, Brandy, what your initial reaction to the term is.
Revulsion.
Okay.
Because I feel that it has gone away from its original intent and definition and become just a catch-all. Usually in a derogatory way about a female character. I find it sexist. And my question always is, if it were a man doing this, would you have any problem with it? So, you know, this happened a lot with Rey in Star Wars.
Uh-huh.
Everybody was just like, but how could she just suddenly know how to do this? Well, how could Luke just suddenly know how to do it?
Right.
I mean, how much training did he really get? He was playing with a lightsaber and a few drones on the Millennium Falcon, and that was really everything he got. And then all of a sudden, he's destroying the Death Star? Of course he's destroying the Death Star. Anyway, it's not anything against anyone's opinion, but I feel like it has degenerated into just this thing that means whatever the individual using it wants it to mean.
Right.
And I do find that it's most often used in a derogatory way, and I don't care for that. There's enough sexism in the world.
There is a lot. Listeners, if you're not familiar with this concept, the term Mary Sue came from a Star Trek themed fan fiction story in, I believe, 1973, and there was a character named Mary Sue. And it kind of became a term used for females who, for one reason or another, is deemed undesirable by fan critics. And I'm going to read this little definition that I got off of Wikipedia.
Nice.
It's that a character may be judged Mary Sue if she is competent in too many areas, is physically attractive, and or is viewed as admirable by other sympathetic characters. Mary Sues are generally presumed to be idealized self-inserts rather than true characters. And they're talking about of the author. Sometimes they're perceived as the author putting themselves into the story. Although they may actually be intended as point-of-view characters for the reader. In fan fiction, it is considered extremely gauche or at least very immature for an author to create characters based on him or herself. So, Brandy, I agree with you that, I mean, I think for sure it's kind, the term has a lot of baggage, right? And I do think that it has been used in so many different ways and in derogatory ways that it's kind of like you can't escape the fact that that baggage comes along with it.
Yeah.
And my gut reaction initially is, oh my God, that's so sexist.
Yeah.
But then I started researching the history of the term and how it's been used and how people, many people define it differently. And that's also, thank you so much, Paloma Bennett, for chatting offline and sending me all the links to that, because it was very fascinating. And I appreciate you taking the time to send that, because I think it's a great discussion. I think it's very interesting how it's been used and how the term just kind of depends on the person and how they're using it, their perspective, their intention, and it's received in different ways by different people. Some people are like, I love Mary Sues. Give me a strong female character that saves the day. But then that might not be what Mary Sue means to somebody else. I personally would avoid using the term when describing a character, only because there is all of that baggage behind it.
Yeah.
And I think it's more, I mean, if there's an issue with the writing, then maybe it's the story and not the character that's the issue.
Quite possibly.
You know, but I think it's fascinating.
It is fascinating. And when it all, if you boil it down to the very most basic things, we are talking about a creative work. And creative works are subjective. They are not objective, because there are going to be people who absolutely think it's the best thing ever, and there are people who are going to think it's the worst trash they've ever seen or read or whatever, because it's objective. And we just have to remember that subjective means that it's your opinion, and opinions are not facts. It's just how you feel. And I know we're living in an age where people can feel like something is true and that becomes a fact to them, but that's not how facts work. So.
Right.
But, you know, and I'm not saying that against any particular person, at all.
No.
I'm very glad that, Paloma brought these reservations into the conversation and, allowed us this time to talk about it. Now, we could go down the rabbit hole and spend, like, I'm pretty sure a good hour, if not more, just on the Mary Sue discussion.
Oh, yeah.
But the place for that is not here on this episode.
So. No. But, and for the record also, Paloma in our chats said she had no idea the negative connotations that were often associated with it. And she's like, you know, I'm not going to use that term anymore. Just after she read up on it a little bit. But, you know, there's also a website that's a Mary Sue website where it's mostly about, you know, female and other diverse representation in the arts and in film and television, which, so it's kind of a way where they've reclaimed that term in a way that is empowering. So it's really fascinating to learn about these things. And it's also important to listen to how it makes people feel when they hear it.
Yeah. There are probably a lot of women who just react negatively to the term,
sure,
simply because why can't there be a capable woman who can save the day? So, because honestly, it's 2019, people, and there's still not equal representation for anybody but white men. So, so straight white men, let's put it that way. There's just still, we need to diversify so much more because representation matters.
It matters.
It matters so much.
Yep.
And I knew that that was a fact, but it wasn't until Tilly came along that I was just like, I have an avatar. How is this possible? I didn't think this was possible. I have an avatar. So yeah, it changes your life, really, to see someone like you doing something and you're like, I could possibly do that. So it matters.
I mean, with Colbert and Stamets, finally seeing two gay guys in love. And,
yes.
You know, I've always found myself in Star Trek even as a kid, but now it's so much more personalized, and Discovery makes it so much more important to me. And I mean, it's about time.
Yes.
And I think we need a lot more. I think we need, you know, gender non-binary people and species and trans individuals. And I think we need to keep showing the world and showing what humanity is in more varying ways.
Agree. Come on. If Supergirl can have a trans woman, so can Star Trek.
Yeah.
All right, then.
Thank you, listeners, for joining us on this conversation. We could keep going, but we're not going to.
Yeah, this would be another hour long.
Mm-hmm. So let's get to your last words.
All right. Nicholas Paul Collinson says, when season 2 finished with the move to the future, I was really concerned about what season 3 would be. I was upset that they seemed to be leaving so many threads dangling and questions unanswered in the 23rd century. Still want to know more about the logic extremists. I have a lot of theories and opinions there. Consult Star Trek Enterprise.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like they were only doing it to escape the criticisms of the more toxic sector of the fandom. But now, after seeing the trailer, while I still have some reservations, I'm much more confident that they will do a good job of whatever they're doing, and I'm really excited to see what it is. I was not happy with the idea that the Federation would have crumbled or lost its way, but now I'm starting to see how that could work and really be interesting. The Federation was always portrayed as a utopia, but utopia is an exercise in stagnation, meaning that once you think you have a perfect society, you stop trying to improve it. So maybe that's part of what has happened to the Federation in the intervening 930 years. I only hope that they have the demise itself be relatively recent so that we could still have a few more really good centuries after the Star Trek Picard era. I hope this season gives them the space to really explore the concept of a utopian society and what that actually means. I'm hoping for a lot of dense philosophy, ethics, and introspection. I'm excited to see the state of the galaxy in the 32nd century.
I love Nicholas's comments.
Excellent. Absolutely excellent. And
he apologized that it was lengthy in the thread, but I love where you went with it, and you really opened my mind a lot to different ideas and made me think a lot about what we've seen in the Federation up to this point. And that it's possible for me, I take out of your comment, Nicholas, that we've taken that for granted, that we've had that. Like he said, it's utopia is an exercise in stagnation, meaning that once you think you have a perfect society, you stop trying to improve it.
Oh,
and how poignant is that?
That was just really... That was like a moment for me,
because
I hadn't really thought about it in that way, but it's absolutely right.
I hadn't either. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely right. Wow. That was deep.
Yeah, it was. Thanks, Nicholas.
Yes, thank you so much. Thank you for letting me read that. I really enjoyed being able to read that.
I thought you'd like it.
Thank you.
And it was beautifully read.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
J.T. Echebarren. And again, if I said your name incorrectly, I apologize, says, I'm excited and scared. Everything you'd want from a trailer. Excited to see the far future, scared to see a broken Federation, hopeful for connections to established past shows. Overall, can't wait for the season to start. JT, we also had a thread on your comment that so JT said, I'm excited and scared, and Into the Woods, Little Red sings a song, I Know Things Now, and she says, I'm excited and scared. And then we had this whole musical theater wormhole that we went into on the thread. So I was very happy about that. Excellent. I may or may not have posted GIFs of Bernadette Peters, just saying.
And why wouldn't you?
Yeah. One of my friends and I talk about how you can basically have a conversation in Bernadette Peters GIFs.
Yep. I'm not surprised by that at all.
It's a very specific area, but I don't know. Thanks, JT, for your comment. Yes. I'm excited and scared, too.
I'm not scared. I'm just excited.
But it's a risk. I mean, it's risky what they're doing.
I know it's risky, but I'm so ready for it. I'm so ready to see them do things they've never done before.
Yeah. And like what going back to what Trib said about how they're standing on their own feet now or something.
Yeah. They're not burdened by the past sort of thing.
That they're put on its own. Yeah.
Yeah. Discovery's on its own.
Mm-hmm. And now Discovery is both a prequel series and not a prequel series. Yeah, and a post
prequel and a sequel.
Modern modern Federation series.
Prequel and a really far in the future sequel.
Yeah. So. That's cool. That's a cool concept.
Yeah. Well, and the funny thing is the Enterprise did that a tiny little bit with the Zindi arc. Just a tiny little bit because of Daniels messing around.
Oh, Crewman Daniels.
Daniels! Ah, oh, you!
Sidebar, I really love the J, and I wanted to see it more.
Yeah.
It was so cool looking.
Definitely. It was very cool. I also really liked the future Enterprise in the E-squared episode where it has, it's the Enterprise, you know, anyway, the NX-01, not the NCC-1701, the NX-01. And it's got all these bits attached to it now. So it's just like, okay, that's weird. And then you find out, oh, no, it's from the future.
And future Star Trek stuff in episodes has always been, I think, some of the coolest stuff we've ever seen.
Yeah.
You know, and to know that we're going to live there is kind of awesome.
It's something that has not been done before, so... I like new.
Me too.
I like new grounded in the old, and to me that's what they've done with Discovery. So that's my personal feeling about it.
I think so too. I can't wait. We don't even have a release date yet.
I know, just 2020. I'm going to guess September.
September?
I'm going to guess.
Because we get Picard January 23rd. Mm-hmm. And we have how many episodes is it?
I think it's going to be
less than
10?
Discovery. Yeah.
I want to say 10.
So that takes us to March-ish. I don't know. That's a long time to wait.
I know, but is Lower Decks going to happen in the interim? Oh,
I don't know. They've got... I mean, the animated stuff takes a lot longer to produce.
It does. Because usually they record the voices first and then animate it to the voices. So I don't know how that's going to work or how long that's going to take. I guess it depends on where the animation's being done. But anyway, how many people are doing it, et cetera.
Anyway. Yeah.
Speculation.
Mm-hmm. Well, we should have some more Discovery-related postcards episode before the season comes out.
Absolutely.
Because anyway, we got to keep excited about it.
Absolutely.
So, Brandy, how do you think the fans responded to the trailer?
Well, I think we had an overall positive response for the most part. Of course, you can't please everyone. But as far as the amount of comments that we have shared, most people are ready to go. And even the people who are kind of, I'm worried about this, are still looking forward to seeing what happens. So,
yeah.
Except for the replicant. Just kidding, Brandon. I'm totally kidding.
Well, he didn't
kidding.
Say he wasn't looking forward
no,
to it.
No, he did he not just, say that at you know. All. And I'm just teasing because, you know, I'm worried about you, Brandon. Those Blade Runners are going to be closing in, dude, if you just advertise like that. I mean...
Right.
Whew, gosh. Anyway, sorry. Nerd. Push up my nerd glasses.
No, you can push mine up, too.
Okay.
Be sure to check out our Discovery and Short Treks coverage. Live from the Edge for each new Short Trek will air on Thursdays at 9 p.m. Eastern, so you can watch Brandy and Bruce and ask questions live, and will be released as a podcast the next day. Our commentary will be available as Tracks from the Edge with Mike and Max, and of course, you can catch full analysis on the Edge main show with Amy and Patrick. You'll find all of these in the main feed for the Edge and in the Trek FM master feed. We'd love to hear your thoughts on Discovery, and the best place to do that is the Babel Conference, our listeners group on Facebook, where I will collect your feedback for postcards. You can also find us on Twitter at TrekFM or send us an email using the contact form on our website at trek.fm/contact. Choose to send to a show and select The Edge. Well, Brandy?
My dad had called me
Brandy
that.
Jackson?
I get that.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
I get stuff sent to my house all the time, mail that says Brandy Jackson. Wouldn't be the first time, probably won't be the
That's
last.
That's my favorite one. Because it makes me think like you're like you could be co-starring in a movie with Pam Grier.
Ooh, nice.
In the 70s or something.
Excellent. I like it. I can go for that.
I would love to see that. I think we need to call some people and make that happen.
I absolutely think so. I think that that would be the best thing. And there needs to be more, you know, curvy girls in the lead.
Oh,
in
yeah.
The leads, you know, so we need that. Absolutely.
Please. Listeners, just so you know, I wanted to tell you about the picture that we posted of me and Brandy after recording this episode. I know you guys were like, what is going on with that?
So awesome, though.
So, the picture has me and Brandy in shades, and there's magic coming out of my mouth, and it looks like Brandy's cheeks are eating her sunglasses. I had to use it. It's not taken currently. Do you remember when that picture happened, Brandy?
It was like a couple of months ago.
You had a flat tire.
Oh.
Right? Was that when you had the flat tire?
No, because that was, my flat tire debacle was 3 weeks ago.
Oh.
So, where I had two flat tires 2 days in a row, or one flat tire 2 days in a row, same tire.
But something happened.
Something happened,
and you were like in a mood because something happened. And I don't mean that negatively.
No,
but you
I know.
Were,
I don't remember,
like,
though.
Unhappy about something. And then I was like, oh, let me like face. So I video FaceTimed you, and yes. I can't remember. Or maybe you did accidentally. And then I hit, it was like a video chat on Facebook Messenger. And then I hit some button accidentally, and all of these like screen filters and stuff started popping up. At one point, there were hamburgers flying.
It was a game. We were supposed to be catching the hamburgers in our mouths.
And then I accidentally took like a screenshot. So, but we were like cracking up for like 10 minutes.
It was so funny. I'm still cracking up about it now.
And I know. And then you were in a better mood. So
yeah, I absolutely was. And I can't even remember what at the time was going on. I'm sure it was something terribly serious. But that just, how could that not make me smile and laugh my little head off? Actually, I have a really big head. I have a giant Celtic head, large cranium.
That was the universe saying, just calm the freak down. Everything's going to be okay. Yes. Don't take everything so seriously.
That was pretty much it, yeah.
Which I do too often.
Hey, you know what? That's why we're friends, so that we can talk each other down when these things happen.
Mm-hmm. Well, I appreciate you, and I appreciate you being here today to talk about Star Trek Discovery.
Well, I appreciate you, and I appreciate you having me because I was so excited to be invited.
Yes, and we have the double short treks coming up in a few weeks, and I want you to come back for that too, if you would.
Absolutely.
Because there's going to be a lot to talk about, I have a feeling, with that one,
so
with
much.
Those two.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for being here again.
My pleasure.
And where can people find you on the interwebs?
In places. You can find me.
You can places find me. On the things.
Yeah, the places on the things. You can find me on the Babel Conference from time to time. Sometimes I don't get to it during the whole day. It just sometimes time. Time enough at last. Anyway. Oh, no, wait, that's the wrong show.
I was going to say.
Sorry about that. You can find me on Twitter at BrandyWine12. Brandy is with an I and 12 is a number. And you can hear me on the podcast I do with my husband, Dave, called The Dark Corner, where we talk about all the kinds of stuff we love, which is all nerd geek stuff. and look at it.
And there are swears.
There are so many swears. Okay, not always, but there have been some episodes where I was heavy on the swearing, especially if I get really upset about something. The expletives will fly from my lips like spittle, and and probably spittle too. And yeah, and as Chris mentioned, live from the edge. So we'll see you on Thursday the 14th for 14th. That. So very exciting. So where can people find you, dude?
Well, dude, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at CD Littlefield, and of course lurking in the Babel Conference. And I also just had my first film come out in theaters this week, and yes! I just wanted to talk about it really briefly, not to use this platform to brag about it, but it was super exciting. Mm-hmm. It was a documentary that I'm music supervisor and composer for called Leonard Soloway's Broadway, and he's a 91-year-old Broadway producer and manager, has been around New York Broadway musical theater forever and ever and ever. And I got to do the music for the film, and it came out in theaters this week. I went to see it in Manhattan, and one of the hosts of Seventh Rule came to see it also, Anne-Marie Siegel, who I met on the airplane on the way back from Star Trek Las Vegas.
Oh my goodness.
Which was super awesome. So my like music world and my Trek world like collided, and it was so cool. And if you want to check out what the documentary is about, you can go to LeonardSoloway'sBroadway.com and read all about it. Thank you for letting me put that little plug in. It'll be on Amazon Prime next week.
Excellent. I will watch it because I have Amazon Prime. And so I was going to ask you, is there a way that I can see that? Because I know it's not playing
in theaters. I think it's Amazon Prime. I don't know if it's a purchase thing or if it's Amazon. I don't know how it works.
I will
but
purchase
it's going
it
to be on Amazon. Yeah, Leonard Soloway's Broadway. It'll be on Amazon, and then depending on how things, how much the response is, they'll figure out. They're going to do a DVD release, which, you know, I don't have a DVD player anymore, but they're putting it out on a lot of different things. They're going to play it on airplanes, you know, which is so cool.
I'm going to be on an airplane in January.
I'll see if I can get them to
no, put I'm on your flight. When it's available on Amazon, I'm going to be getting that. So
yeah, it's November, sometime in November. So excellent. Keep a lookout for it.
Excellent.
If you'd like to help us keep all of our shows going and even become an associate producer, visit patreon.com/trekfm for all the details. I'd like to thank our associate producers, Norman C. Lau, Tony Robinson, Thomas Puleo, Lisa Slack, Shoaib Mirza, Richard Rutledge, James Muldrow, Cornelia Reutner, Ryan Mailett, Chris Tribuzio, Brian Malosh. Thank you for supporting Trek FM and especially The Edge. Join us very soon for another episode of Postcards from the Edge right after the next Short Treks Ask Not is released. Hailing frequencies open. So you don't want to do a voice for this one?
What voice did you want
like
me to
after do? Life? I don't know.
I don't know. Usually when I do a voice, it's inspired by something that happened in the show. But
I'm sorry that I'm not inspiring enough. Oh, you for the show.
Oh! Okay.
I don't know why I just took it personally.
Oh, I see. You really think I would say that to you? To that gorgeous face of yours? I would never. I would never say anything like that to you. Good Lord. We're here to build each other up, not tear each other down.
That's right.
Yeah, I'm a creepy girl.
Yeah, you are.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I like you.
Oh, you.